Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Good morning. We're talking about authenticity is one of those qualities that has become so desirable, so sought after, that it has been reduced, just like generosity and gratitude, to a meaningless cliche. You are listening to the Kick-Ass Radio Show Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male roles, and I tell you how it is. Today is episode 6, all about authenticity and being you. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the glow-getter. My background is I'm no stranger to wearing high-vis workwear, getting down and dirty in the grease and coal dust. I have over 30 years' experience in the heavy equipment, earth-moving, civil, construction and rail industries. And I hit the track running, so to speak, 7 years ago and now work as a coal train driver. Yes, you heard me right. I drive a coal train. And I can honestly and genuinely say I love my job. And my passion now is really wanting to encourage more women to consider these non-traditional roles and careers as I share my knowledge, career experiences and understanding of the industries. So here we are on the radio show. So if you know me, you know how colourful my personality can get. And if you don't know me yet, I promise you we'll have fun getting to know each other. I really loved getting to know my tribe and I'm really excited to be sharing our career experiences, industry knowledge and know-how, and insights. So today again is episode 6, and we're going to be talking about authenticity. A very good morning to all across Australia. We've got a beautiful day here, and a very heartfelt warm welcome to our listeners in the US. I hope you're all safe and well, and particularly those weathering out the hurricane as best you can. I hope we can keep you in good company and provide you all with a little insight into some much needed topics for women wanting to transition into varied industry sectors. And I'll also take this opportunity to say today's episode is brought to you by one of the show's sponsors, Kick-Ass Women. Kick-Ass Women is all about a future in the rail, mining, resources, STEM and construction industries. Kick-Ass Women reinforce, support and inspire women to step out of their comfort zones, find their kick-ass attitude and tap into their steel caps. Everyone is capable of doing the job. What are you waiting for? Go on, get your glow on. And a shout out to all the women working out on track and on site today. This might be a good time to mention that the radio show does and may contain some adult language. So let's get into it. Back to the show. So to start off, we're going to get into authenticity. Every woman in every situation is different. If you don't stay authentic and try to fit in and please others, keeping up the facade will be the cost to you. What do you call a fake noodle? An imposter. That's my Friday funny for today. Okay, getting back on track. Authenticity is less about identifying a singular purpose and voice that should define your entire life. It's about finding and trusting your voice today. In other words, embracing the impermanence of your identity, knowing that it can and will change. How you live your life, your interests, principles and priorities will evolve over time. As you grow, you'll add depth to your voice. If you remain the same for too long, that's when you know you've stopped learning or you're clinging to an expired version of yourself. If we define authenticity as simply being your true self, then we really shouldn't have to look for it in the first place. If we're looking for it, then we've already lost it. And that is what we can call the enigma of authenticity. If you're trying to be authentic, you're not being authentic. So how can we possibly learn to become more authentic? We have to start by understanding why authenticity is so important. It might seem obvious, but it's not. After all, we live in a world that thrives on inauthenticity. Traditional jobs run on office politics, the news feeds of false information, celebrities pretend to be real people, brands curate fan pages, even our friends put on nice faces or say what we want to hear to keep us happy. We don't need to belabor the point, but it's important to realize how much of our lives are driven by bullshit, which is the lack of authenticity. But if you think about the moments in your life that are meaningful, I mean truly meaningful, you will always find a degree of realness of true authenticity. A heartfelt compliment, an honest job review, a great movie, an actually enjoyable social event or day. These all evolve at least some degree of authenticity. The reason we recognise authenticity is that we're primed to respond to it, and we're primed to respond to it authentically. In short, we know it when we see it, and it feels good, it feels true. It feels something real, which is why it resonates so strongly with us. If we put up with a world that is so often inauthentic, it's only because we've forgotten what real authenticity feels like. But that only makes us hungrier for it, which explains why a politician with even a hint of truth, or a speaker who dares to be vulnerable, has the power to inspire us. And when they do, how special. We can probably count those moments on one hand. They're extraordinary. We feel moved by authentic people. We feel attracted to them. Similarly, we feel attractive when we are being authentic and when we connect with someone who is authentically engaging with our attractiveness. When we have a killer job interview or truly a special social event, what we're usually saying is that we encountered a moment of mutual authenticity. Being authentic is a lot easier. It's tempting to forget but being yourself, and being around other people who are themselves, it's much easier than pretending or falsifying or putting on a social mask, which are common ways to cope with a world that feels false. In fact, it's authenticity that makes pickup lines, memorised openers, and candid responses so attractive. These techniques seem easier until we discover that they only go so far. They break down as soon as a relationship demands real authenticity, at which point we realise how much easier it would have been just to be ourselves. So on multiple levels, we're craving that realness. We want to be authentic and we want to be around authenticity. The more we try to be something else, what our parents told us we should be, what our jobs demand us to be, what other people seem to think we should be, the more the desire to be ourselves grows stronger. If you need any more evidence for why this trait is so important, ask yourself whether you feel being yourself or pretending otherwise. I think if we're being honest, it always feels better to be authentic. If it ever feels better to be inauthentic, it's only because we haven't quite learned how to be ourselves. So if authenticity is something we all want, but it's impossible to have, since it's something you are and not something you get, then authenticity must be impossible to teach, right? So how can you learn to become more authentic? As we've already discovered, you can't. That's the trap. What can you do, however, is stop being inauthentic. And that's where we'll begin. If authenticity is the feeling of being your real self, then we can define inauthenticity as the feeling of not being your real self. That can take many forms. Masquerading as someone you're not, compromising what you feel is right, feeling strange in your own skin, mimicking those around you, or generally feeling like you're not one with your day-to-day experience. You might recognize inauthenticity as a kind of pretending. It comes along with feelings of fraudulence, deception, self-consciousness, and the feeling that you need to keep up appearances, like you're not one with your day-to-day experience. You might recognise inauthenticity as a kind of pretending. For many of us, that describes our work personas. For others, that describes who we are in a relationship. These patterns can become so ingrained that being authentic seems more uncomfortable than faking it. Once we've gotten to that point, we can be pretty sure it's time for a change. Now, we should pause here and make an important distinction. At its core, inauthenticity does not feel truly comfortable, but let's not confuse inauthenticity with discomfort. These two are different things. For example, you might feel uncomfortable approaching a stranger at an event or a networking event or at a meeting, but that doesn't mean approaching a stranger is inauthentic. You can have your experience of being uncomfortable talking to the stranger while remaining authentic about just how uncomfortable you really are. By the way, that explains why flawed approaches can sometimes work really well. I've seen guys walk up to girls, tell them how nervous they are to say hello, and then go on to have great conversations. At the very least, they're not pretending, which frees them up to have a real moment. Humans, women especially, are authenticity lasers. They zero in on that shit. People know when they're talking to the real thing. So remember, discomfort is good and is usually a sign that you're being stretched. You might not normally go up to a stranger at a party or a networking event, but that doesn't mean you're being inauthentic by trying. As a great, there's a Harvard Business Review article which explains moving beyond our comfort zones can make us want to protect our identities by retreating to familiar behaviours and styles. Behaviours and styles that don't actually serve us, that aren't who we really are deep down. And how many of us do that? And that's an inference to the authenticity enigma. You can be inauthentic by doing what seems authentic, that is what feels most comfortable, and you can be more authentic by trying things that feel inauthentic, that is, new thoughts and behaviours that are uncomfortable simply because they're new. Crazy, I know, but that's how our minds can deceive us into avoiding who we really are. So back to the problem. If we can't try to be more authentic, then how can we become more authentic? The first step is to stop being inauthentic. That's how we get around authenticity. And it's not that we're learning how to be authentic, but that we're unlearning inauthenticity. And it turns out that unlearning inauthenticity is very doable. The first step is to notice when it arises. That's it. Just notice it. The moment you catch yourself being inauthentic, saying something you don't believe, pretending to feel something that you're not, you'll want to shake it off pretty quickly. The instinct will be strong because there's nothing fun or easy about pretending to be something you're not. At the end of the day, we all just want to get back to being ourselves. Then listen to that instinct. When you feel the bullshit arising, when you feel the discomfort of pretending to be someone you're not, stop and pay attention. That might seem obvious, and it is, but this is where most people, even people who are truly committed to becoming more authentic, get stuck. It's one thing to notice the tendency to be inauthentic. It's another to admit that it's happening right now in you and there's another way to be. Next, take a moment and have a laugh. Now, I love a laugh. Seriously, this is important. You catch yourself defending a point of view you might not really hold or tolerating someone's toxicity out of obligation or fighting for a job you don't really want. Whatever the situation, the moment you catch yourself having an inauthentic moment, stop and enjoy the discovery. So you were being inauthentic just now. How funny. You forgot who you were for a moment. Now you remember. Well, that was weird. The other day I was on the phone with my husband and I just got a list of questions from a client interested in collaborating with me on a project. The questions were a little strange, a little misleading, and totally out of left field. We spent a few minutes discussing them together, trying to come up with good answers, suddenly finding ourselves just inarticulate and confused, each of us getting more worked up as we tried harder and harder to find answers to these not so great questions. Suddenly I stopped. I'm kind of stressed out, I said. Me too, he said. And in that little moment, everything shifted. We both realised the questions were unhelpful. We both remembered that we totally knew how to talk about what I was wanting to develop and create within my project. And suddenly we started coming up with new ideas, new talking points, and they were way better than what we were talking about the moment earlier. I had been drawn in by a situation, in this case, a list of questions, and had quickly forgotten who I was. A woman who loves talking about what she does and who knows her shit and who's excited to share her work with other people. I then started pretending to be this other woman who has clever answers to bad questions. That woman wasn't a very good partner in that thought process. And the moment I realised it, I knew I had to say something. So after we both recognised our frustration and had a laugh, I remembered who I was, and suddenly I knew exactly what to do. I was back to being myself. I was authentic again. Laughing at yourself in the moment will also help you avoid another tempting trap. Beating yourself up for being inauthentic. That's not what we're here to do. In fact, I'd argue that being hard on yourself is a very inauthentic thing to do. It doesn't feel good because it's totally unnecessary. You're human. It's normal to slip into inauthentic moments. We've learned some funny behaviours from the world all over the years especially, and sometimes we forget who we are. It's all good. Because when you notice inauthenticity arising, you just need to stop, notice it and accept it, and enjoy the moment of remembering who you really are. You're on your way towards being more authentic, which leads us to the last step in this process. You have to be willing to put your inauthenticity aside. That's a little harder. A lot of us rely on our roles, our beliefs, our positions, our identities. They're comforting, they're familiar. They allow us to navigate the world in a safe and predictable way. Putting them down would mean losing something that we've been using probably for a long time. Because who you are without the persona? Who are you, without the persona? What are you going to say if you don't give the bullshit compliment? What are you? Why are you at this party if you don't know what to talk about? Do you belong in this meeting if you don't know the answers? That's why a lot of what we need to do right here and now is to add things to you. Techniques, skills, sensibilities, frameworks. In other cases, we need to remove things, limiting beliefs, assumptions, fears, and as a result, inauthenticity. Ultimately, you don't become more authentic by trying to be more authentic, remember. But by removing all that other stuff, the hollow statements, the biased beliefs, the silly opinions, the feigned interests, the canned responses, the cut and dried answers, that makes up your inauthenticity. Authenticity isn't the presence of something, but the absence of everything that isn't authentic. Let that sink in. I'll say that again. Authenticity isn't the presence of something, but the absence of everything that isn't authentic. You're not here to add anything to become more authentic. You're only here to take away anything that isn't real. Remember that when you find yourself disconnected from who you really are, and you'll quickly find a path back to a fun, enjoyable, authentic moment. Once you put aside your inauthenticity, you're left with only one option. You have to be yourself. You have no other choice. It's a little scary, but it's also liberating. It's easy to get caught up with the expectations you hold for yourself or that others project upon you, who you should be, where you have been. If you fuel these doubts, you can opt out of the unknown and find comfort in your plateau. But you won't grow through the familiar and you won't find alignment. Your sense of authenticity, your now, is something that's all your own. It's discovered, developed and deepened by the obstacles you face, the uncertainties you navigate, and the inspiration you find along the way. There's a great Oscar Wilde quote, and it says, "Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken." And that is so true, and it's something to live by. So being you, and that's a chapter in my book, High Heels to High Boots. We cover that. So I'm going to read you a little excerpt out of that chapter on being you. And it's what I resonate with. So you always need to be you when you step out and into the world and into a new job role. Having worked in predominantly male workforce, it certainly does have its drawbacks. Male-dominated environments can be scary, and the temptation is to try to adapt and be someone you're not. Please be yourself. Remember that you are working with men and some of them will act like men. Don't take anything personally. Being defensive will not help you get ahead. When you're first starting up, learn to blend in. You'll be dealing with co-workers and operators that have been doing this a long time, and some of them do not want to be led by women. Believe in naturally getting along with everyone and recognize that you need to earn your stripes a bit more than men do. This can be overcome with time and familiarity. Treat people well. Don't rise to confrontation, and you should be treated well in return. It's about respecting yourself instead of catering to your insecure needs to be liked. Let go of the need to prove yourself to others. You do not need validation from others to prove your worthiness, even from loved ones. True validation comes from the core of being you. We all know someone who does not take shit from anyone, ever. We look upon those types of people with wide-eyed reverence and would never dream of being stupid enough to present them with any of our bullshit or try and make them wrong. Why? Because we respect them and are usually terrified of them in a healthy way. And why do we respect them? Because they respect themselves. And at the end of the day, it's not about them. It's about you believing you're worthy of respect and being seen for who you really are. It takes great courage to buck the trend to be yourself. I applaud those who stand out with their declaration of personal power. Find the eye of the tiger. Here's a fun fact for you. Did you know that tigers have striped skin, not just striped fur? The stripes are like fingerprints, and no two tigers have the same pattern. And that's a fact straight out of National Geographic Tiger Facts. I never knew that. You have more power than you realise, more genius than you can imagine, more wisdom and knowledge that you can ever access. Now, this is not a patronising statement to seduce you into false belief. You have unlimited power, although assessing that or accessing that power is the basis to awakening your authentic self. Owning your power gives you the credibility to be successful. Owning your power leads to increased confidence and an understanding of how you can help others and make decisions and achieve their objectives as well as your own. Owning your power allows you to create and maintain a strong relationship both in and out of the workplace. It allows you to stand up for yourself, negotiate for yourself, and demonstrate your strength while admitting when you're wrong. It takes power to allow yourself to be vulnerable and compassionate without losing yourself in the process. The good news is that we all have the power. The trick is to connect with it and own it. Women often have a negative opinion about ambition. They want to be successful, but feel awkward admitting it and letting others know they're committed to pursue a career. Never apologize for wanting to have ambition. When you hesitate to declare your ambition, it keeps you small and robs you of your power. Acknowledge and declare your ambition. If you don't fully appreciate and communicate your skills, expertise, knowledge, and growth potential, others won't either. Nothing can sabotage you more than letting negative self-talk dominate your thoughts. Negative self-talk paralyzes you from taking action. It holds you back from sharing your thoughts and ideas and prevents you from taking risks and exploring new opportunities. These thoughts will literally empty your fuel tank. And once you're out of fuel, you no longer have power. Self-awareness is the first step to owning your power. Don't let limiting beliefs control your life and your success. Replace negative self-talk thoughts, reframe, and replace with positive affirmations. Now, I'm a big one on affirmations. I diligently live by the belief and support of affirmations, much to the displeasure of my husband. He doesn't like anything stuck, screwed, or nailed to the paintwork on the walls at home. However, during a period of unemployment that I was going through, I covered one wall of our bedroom in laminated affirmation cards and photos and images that I was inspirationally drawn to, all of which I creatively put together in a rather large collage, or in other words, my vision board, and I stuck it to our bedroom wall. I would religiously get out of bed each morning, look at the wall and focus on one card and then face the day meticulously, repeating the affirmation in my head, saying it out loud and trying to envision how I could apply the thought into my day and my life. I would repeat the process at night, only laying my head down to sleep and repeating the affirmation in my head to put me to sleep. So on days when you feel like you're losing your way, your vision board acts as a prompt and a reminder that the possibilities and opportunities that you can see are out there, and you are the one in control that needs to pursue reality from the dream. My vision board is now on the computer and my phone, where you can easily create your collage, cut and paste images, collect quotes that resonate with you, I'm a huge fan of Pinterest and have created many boards on my profile. So remember, use your vision board. If you don't have one, create it. Advocate for yourself and others. Show respect and pride in yourself and fellow workmates, and they will respond in kind. Promote your work team and all of yours and their accomplishments. Ask for help when you need it. Knowing what you need and asking for help is a power move. When you ask for and line up resources you need to move forward with your goals, you increase your chances of being successful. Speak up and share your opinions and ideas. You need to own the power of your intelligence and opinions. You own your power when you share your thinking process and ability to brainstorm with others. And finally, never apologize for looking out for your own career. If other people think you're pushy, so be it. No one, and I mean no one, will fight for you as hard as you'll fight for yourself. Make people remember you provide a special kind of value they can't find anywhere else. And the next is acknowledge and embrace your fears. Your fears, as with your negative thoughts, sabotage your success. We all have fears, but we lose our power when we let our fears overwhelm and paralyze us from taking action. Own your power by facing your fears. Begin with baby steps. Start moving out of your comfort zone, one step at a time, and build your confidence muscle. It's strong. Each new risk you take, each new step brings you closer to owning your power. There is one thing you can count on as a woman in a male-dominated industry, and that is that you are often underestimated. Perceive being underestimated as an opportunity, not an insult. Much like criticism, don't take it personally. Treat it as positive feedback and learn from it. We have been told by society that being a woman in a male-dominated industry puts us at a disadvantage, but it does not. What may seem like a disadvantage is actually an edge we should use to our advantage. You have the ability to shock people by simply being prepared and knowledgeable. When you're a woman in a male-dominated industry, the old belief is that expectations are already set lower than normal. Therefore, the opportunities to shock people are endless. For example, stereotypically, women are not expected to know how mechanical things operate, what construction or technical terms mean, what function each part on a piece of equipment performs, or even to care about these subjects. But by being a massive sponge and absorbing information on traditionally male-dominated industries and subjects, you are challenging the status quo for women. When you walk into a room, you will feel empowered because you know that upon leaving that room, you will be more respected than when you walked in, directly because of your preparedness and knowledge. When others don't expect you to be prepared, they come to the table less prepared. This is a prime opportunity for you to seize. Know your facts and become the force. I think I used that last week. We're into the Star Wars here. Become the force. If you're feeling self-doubt, you're already letting underestimation win. Whatever you're doubting about your abilities, figure out what could be the cause. Is it a lack of research, a lack of product knowledge, or a lack of confidence? Whatever it is, learn it. Knowledge is power, and no one questions the person who has done their research. If you are lacking confidence, educate yourself further. Knowledge is a surefire way to build your confidence. Whenever I feel self-doubt creeping in, that's my sign I need to do more research. Don't let the self-doubt or negative talk creep in. Keep it out by doing your homework. Ladies, you are in the driver's seat. The more knowledgeable you are, the more prepared you are, the more confident you are, the bolder you are, the less you'll be doubted. You're the one with the foot on the pedal. Open your throttle and accelerate. Don't sell yourself short. Make your ambition and success obvious and observable. If you don't fully appreciate and communicate your skills, expertise, knowledge, and growth potential, others won't either. If you want to be seen as a rising star, you will also need to make a stand on the issues you feel passionately about, even if that means rocking the boat now and again. Go ahead, make waves. you must accept that making progress will be hard work and will require courage. Be yourself. Feel the fear and understand that everyone has failures to learn from and get on with it. In fact, your fear may be a sign that you are doing something outstanding. If you put your best foot forward, have the right attitude, and get on and do things, people might initially cause you a bit of grief, but if you keep moving forward, keep on keeping on, they very often accept you. So when you're being your true authentic self, there's no need for you to copy or compete with anyone else. You are enough, and you don't need to impress or please anyone to be liked. You definitely don't need to change who you are. Own your little quirks. I always say, own your ugly. Discover your own way of doing things that feel good to you. And most importantly, shine your own light. Glow bright. Let people see you for all that you are and trust that the right people will be drawn to you when you're being your full, true self. If you are your authentic self, you have no competition. And we all get that little bit of comparison mentality to us, but be your authentic self. You don't have any competition you don't need to compare yourself to anyone. So I've got a little story to tell you, and it's a story that has resonated with me for a very long time, and it's about being your authentic self. Don't be afraid to stand up for yourself and your identity. Always claim your identity. So quite a few years ago now, and I'm talking like about 10 years ago, I stumbled across a book at the local exchange store. Now, this book was a collection of short stories celebrating the shared experiences of being a woman in 101 new ways. The book I'm referring to is called Chicken Soup for the Women's Soul. And at that point in my life, I definitely needed some warm and soothing soup for my soul. If anyone has read this book, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't read it then, I suggest you find a copy of it, grab a cup of coffee and a side of self-reflection. It will take you on a journey where you've never been before. I was truly moved by these true accounts of how women like you and I have embraced life's defining moments by finding love, dealing with loss, and overcoming obstacles and achieving their dreams and goals. Now, this was one of those books, you know, you read sometimes and it's so special. You just want to carry it around with you for months after you finish it, just to have it near. I might add, I have a number of books I resonate that feeling with. I would love to just cuddle them. That's the feeling that they give me and the journey that they take you on. Now, in this book, one particular story has always stayed with me. And it's like the saying goes, one must always be careful of books and what's inside them, for words have the power to change us. So I'd love to share the story of Where Do Mermaids Stand with you. It's an adaptation of Robert Fulghum's from his book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Now, Robert Fulghum wrote this story about a young pastor who on one rainy Sunday afternoon found himself in charge of a group of about 80 children between the ages of 7 to 10 years old. That would be my nightmare. While their parents were off doing parenting things. So it starts off. I mustered my troops in the church social hall, and I knew if I didn't come up with an idea before long, pure chaos would ensue. At that very moment, I remembered a game, an old role-playing game called Giants, Wizards and Goblins. It's a large-scale version of rock, paper and scissors and involves some intellectual decision-making, but the real purpose of the game is to make a lot of noise and run around chasing people until nobody knows which side you're on or who won. Organising a room full of wired-up grade schoolers into two teams, explaining the rudiments of the game, achieving consensus on group identity, all this is no mean accomplishment, but we did it with a right goodwill and we're ready to go. The excitement of the chase had reached a critical mass. I yelled out, "You have to decide now which you wish to be. If a giant, go stand at the front of the room. If you wish to be a wizard, stand in the middle. And those who wish to be a goblin, stand toward the back. All right, let the play begin." I allowed the children several minutes to huddle in frenzied, whispered consultation until the action resumed. As I was standing there, I felt a tug on my pants leg. I looked down. There was a little girl with blue eyes looking up at me, and she questioned me in a concerned voice. "Excuse me?" Yes, what is it? Excuse me, but where do the mermaids stand? There was a long pause, a very long pause. Mermaids? Where do the mermaids stand? There are no mermaids, I spluttered. Oh, yes, there are, for you see, I am a mermaid. There are no such things as mermaids. But yes, I am one. I am a mermaid, and I wish to know where to stand. Now, here was a little girl who didn't relate to being a giant, wizard, or goblin. She saw her category, mermaid, pure and simple, and she wanted to know where to stand. And she was not about to leave the game and go over and stand against the wall on the sidelines where a loser would stand watching the others play. She intended to participate. She had her place without giving up dignity or identity. She took it for granted that there was a place for mermaids and that I would know just where. But where do mermaids stand? All the mermaids, all those children who are different, who we try to mould and form to fit into our available boxes and pigeonholes. Answer that question and you can build a school, a nation, or a world on it. What was my answer at that time? Sometimes I have moments of inspiration, I say the right thing. Why, the mermaid shall stand right here next to the king of the sea, says I. Yeah, king of fools would be more likely. So we stood there, hand in hand together, the mermaid and the king of the sea, reviewing the troops of giants, wizards and goblins as they roiled by in wild disarray. It's not true, by the way, that mermaids do not exist. I know at least one personally. I have held her hand. That's the end of the story. Now, this little girl knew what she was, and she was not about to give up on either her identity or the game. She intended to take her place wherever mermaids fit into the scheme of things. Where do mermaids fit into the scheme of things? Where do mermaids stand? All of those who are different, those who do not fit into the boxes and the pigeonholes. Answer that question, wrote Fulgrim. And you can build a school, a nation, or a whole world. The longing to belong is intense. I've been giving that little story some thought over the years, and there have been times in my life when I moved from one town to another, one job to another, and one phase of my life to another. As I found myself in a new situation, I took inventory of myself and those around me. I tried to find people who shared my interests and values. Sometimes that was easy, and sometimes not too much. As you know from your own experiences, sometimes first impressions turn out to be wrong. There have been times when I thought I fit in with one group of people, but down the road we had not nearly enough in common to maintain friendships. At that point, I discovered the gems that become my biggest treasures. They were mermaids, and so was I, to use Fulgrim's vernacular. By now, I do have the confidence that little girl had. Years ago, as a result of moving so many times, my initial strategy was to fit in and make friends. Now I know that if I extend kindness and understanding, I will attract the friends that are genuinely drawn to me. I've been blessed by incredible people, and I know that it's terrific to be a mermaid, to be authentically you. I guess the only thing that surprises me now is that other people over the years could see and recognise that in me. Perhaps that is because I have no poker face. Whatever the reason, people with appropriate convictions do end up finding each other. When you embrace your difference, your DNA, your look, your heritage, or religion, or your unusual name, that's when you start to shine. There are over 7.5 billion people in the world, each unique in their own way. Don't try to hide your differences. They're the things that make you who you are. When you try too hard to blend into the crowd, you become invisible, easily passed over, and people will begin to see you just as another number. Try to embrace your unique differences and show people who you truly are. Be 100% self you. It doesn't matter what other people think. If you like yourself, you'll shine, you'll glow. So where do mermaids stand? And I say anywhere the bloody hell they like. We all have free will. We are free to choose our goals in life and plan a strategy to reach them. In Fulgrim's vernacular, I am a mermaid and I do not merely stand, I swim too. Remember, the world needs each of us to be who we were created to be and not let society or the latest trend define our character. And that, I guess, is the way I demonstrate my own uniqueness. If you are reading or if you read the story or you're listening to me now, you will become aware of that character, of your values, your integrity, empathy, and compassion. And they are all values which are important to me. So is laughter. If we cannot laugh at the craziness of life, we're all in trouble. So I hope you find laughter today. And I hope you enjoyed that story. As I said, it's always resonated with me. And I just love the term of where do the mermaids stand. It's exactly where you stand in your life and how you project yourself and your authenticity. So as a wrap up today, I just want to give you some ways you can be more authentic at work. Be your authentic self at work. So trying to succeed in any work environment and culture often means some degree of compromise is expected. Despite diversity and inclusion efforts, there's a perceived mold to try and fit into. So our authentic selves are checked at the door. Being sure to shift our personality and body language to appear agreeable, maintaining a smile, or trying to shrink ourselves to not stand out. We compromise our values and beliefs by not offering up our opinions or ideas. Some of us scrutinize over our hair, straightened versus natural, or obsess over our outfit choices. Always conscious of the stereotypes pointed our way and being fearful that we will be judged based on them. Over time, it's downright exhausting. Eventually, our mental, physical, and spiritual health will take a hit. At the buffet of life, we women tend to fill our plates, taking on responsibility not just for our own journeys, but for everyone else's as well. This often leaves us drowning in commitments and unable to make moves to better ourselves. Sound familiar? You've probably felt a burden accompanying every tug of a dream. Should you go for it and scale back the inclination to support others? Absolutely, as long as you have the courage to be your authentic self. You achieve your authentic self when you do your homework. Thoroughly research everything and stay true to your ideas along the way. Don't limit yourself by assuming that the unconscious biases related to the gender gap mean you face an uphill battle. Rather, gather and use information to become mindful and strategic. Reach your authentic potential. Pushing past biases, misperceptions, and other hindrances to getting ahead requires the willingness to set yourself up for success. Use the following techniques to release yourself from old habits that may be holding you back. So number one is think of yourself as an expert first. You may be a woman, but you're a professional first. Lead with your unique skills, experience, qualifications, not your gender. The fact that you're female certainly gives you a different perspective, but that identity shouldn't be the lens through which you view the universe or yourself. Have a realistic understanding of yourself. Become very self-aware. Be clear on your motivations and goals. Know what your personal triggers are, emotions, likes and dislikes. Be grounded enough to recognize it and articulate it. Not sure you can embrace the novel way of seeing life? Beginning today, concentrate on starting new things that align with your desires and dreams. Become the go-to person, regardless of that X chromosome. Instead, seeing your female status as the mirror reflecting your womanhood. Let it reflect your promise. Changing the way everyone else treats you starts with how you treat yourself. Develop a comfort level in your self-talk that boosts your confidence and enables you to develop your authenticity. As you do, you'll start seeing doors being held open, not out of chivalry or chauvinism, but out of respect. Secondly is be the competition crusher. Recognize and have faith in yourself and your abilities. You deserve respect and have everything you need to be active and a valuable contributor to the team. If you want something done, be proactive. Take the bull by the horns. Be more prepared and knowledgeable than everyone else. Why? You'll literally be impossible to ignore. Not only will you gain self-satisfaction, but you'll also buck outdated biases and stereotypes. You'll also kick your confidence into high gear. You'll kick yourself in the ass, which is something women in power or higher leadership positions desperately need to do. Eliminate any defeatist inclinations with a boost of know-how and marked achievement. Thirdly, identify and purge self-sabotaging patterns. We are so good at this. Most people have habits that are hurting them without realizing it. Take job hopping, for example. A study released on LinkedIn indicated that women it studied who graduated from university and or college between 1986 and 2010 tended to move around from job to job more frequently than men. Could being quick to leave employment rather than seek current workplace promotions have cost these women opportunities? Don't hide your flaws. No one is perfect, nor expects you to be perfect. Acknowledge when something is not in your toolbox and seek to learn or find support to help you through it. Don't just cut and run. We all suffer from the desire to get going when the going gets tough. Yet throwing down the tools early may leave your career permanently missing a gear. Evaluating your own reasons for making job decisions, such as constantly looking for something better or different, can illustrate characteristics you don't realise are damaging your progress. Fourthly, boldly ask for honest feedback. When was the last time you asked your line leader or your manager or your colleagues for feedback? I myself routinely ask people at all levels of the organisation for feedback, irrespective of their roles or gender. I even go to my children, my sons, because I recognise what they say can be brutal, but yet refreshingly honest. Feedback is a gift and not one you can afford to wait to receive. Lean In's Women in the Workplace 2017 study indicated that women are less likely to receive career advancement advice from managers or their senior leaders. This means that no news might actually be bad news. As we've all learned, begin requesting input, even if it's tough. Build and nurture a strong relationship with your line leader and your manager. The more your manager is able to learn and understand you, the more support, advocacy, and guidance can be offered with less subconscious engagement of unspoken rules, office norms, and biases to make judgments on. Leverage and nurture your toolbox. Your toolbox of advisors, that is your mentors, coaches, and peers, are there to keep you accountable and advocate for you. They are also there to pick you back up when it gets tough. Not every situation will be cozy, especially if you're thrust into a new role. Therefore, you need to overcome the desire for complete comfort. Work hard every day to overcome the self-doubt that stops you from driving into new projects or opportunities. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be willing to progress. And the fifth and last is, if you don't like being judged, then you shouldn't judge others. If wanting to fit in, sometimes we will adopt the very oppressive behaviours that constrain our own authenticity. Transformational culture starts with each person consciously doing better. Be the change you want to see. Bottom line is, who you are is not always who you get back at work or who you get to be at work. But giving yourself permission to create some space to allow more of yourself to show up is possible. You will be happier for it, and the organisation gains a more engaged employee. So always stay in line with your integrity and others will come to appreciate you for it. If not, that's a clue, letting you know what future decisions you may need to make for yourself. And have a sense of humour. Sometimes brevity in the appropriate situation is the perfect tool to build community and relationships, opening the door to allow a little more of your true self and others to come through. Lastly, do your best to deliver great work. Build your credibility, reliability, and teaming skills to deliver quality work. Keep the conversation and focus on how you're a great asset to the team and your input is sought after. So in along with that, that were my take five tips. We went through those and we'll put them up after the show for you to go back to. And our safety affirmation for the day is, stay true to yourself. You will respect yourself for that. So in closing today, I'd like to, I hope that you found the information helpful and valuable. I've prattled on for nearly an hour. And I hope you enjoyed the story. As I said, if you haven't read the book, go and grab it, Chicken Soup for the Women's Soul. It's excellent. And remember, always be honest without shame. Ignore criticisms. And if you're doing something that you enjoy, act on your own values, desires, emotional needs and capabilities to do something positively. It allows you to stand up for yourself, negotiate for yourself and demonstrate your strength. Be you. As always, I really appreciate you guys giving me your time to listen to the radio show. You can find more information on the episode in the show notes or on my social media pages, either on Facebook, LinkedIn or Instagram. Come back next week where we're going to talk about how do you feel on a Sunday night. Today's episode was brought to you by Kick-Ass Women. Everyone is capable of doing the job. And make sure to follow me on Kick-Ass Women or Joe Sainsbury social media pages, if you haven't already, where we will break down this episode throughout the week. And I would really love to hear from you guys. I love it when you reach out and you give me your feedback and any suggestions you may have for topics you may wish for me to discuss in regards to women pursuing a career within these industries. Also, if there's something you're struggling with or you're wanting additional help with or you want to dig deeper, you may need some direction with, reach out, and if I can help, I would love to. You can send me an email. My email is Jody, J-O-D-Y, at kickasswomen.com.au, or find me on Facebook at facebook.com/kickasswomenaustralia, and be sure to stay tuned for future episodes. I'd love to hear from you. So show some love for your new radio show by leaving me a review on BBS Radio Network. Well, that's it. That's all for today's show, all of Kick-Ass Radio. Thanks for your company and for listening to Kick-Ass Radio. It's not goodbye, but see you later. Stay safe and well. You guys rock. Go out there and have an awesome day or evening. Go crush it. Keep in touch. Poz comms. Go on. Get your glow on.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.